How did you feel when you heard that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated?
Oh, I felt real bad when I heard it came on the news. And he was assassinated right in Memphis, you know, on the back of him. You know, I mean, the whole world, I mean, black people just went wild. White people got scared. They just thought we were going to lose everything. I mean, only real bad part about that, there was black people, when Dr. King got shot, assassinated, most black people back then, you know, a lot of them wasn't educated to the point that the only thing they knew was violence, kill all the white people, kill a big hill. It didn't make a difference. And what happened that really disturbed me was that black people was burning down their own homes and stuff, burning up their own little stores and stuff that they had, you know. They were angry, and the white men just stood there and watched, you know. And I mean, it just makes you think, why destroy your own when you have a man out there trying to do the right thing for you, and you go destroy your own because he got assassinated. And it hurts, you know. It hurts very deeply because all these black people, when they destroy their home, then where they gonna go to? Yeah. Like the man was saying, when he got assassinated, I mean, it seemed like it just turned majority of black people. I mean, it just make them hate white people more. But all white people not to cause racial tension, all of them not like that. Just you have those some bad, a lot of bad apples in the major spots, you know. One you least suspect could be that person.
Did you attend the memorial of Dr. King, or did you watch it on TV or listen?
Oh, I watched it on TV, you know, it was a sad thing to say, but I watched it on TV and stuff, you know, like I said before, my parents, before, we didn't have too many things, no car, nothing to really go places, but we did have a television and radio to listen, and it was a long, I mean, it was a very special ceremony they had for Dr. King, and you know, I mean, I never seen nothing like it. And I'm sure most people around the world and other countries had never seen nothing like it. A black man getting treated with royalty, I mean, it's something unheard of until then. And it really made people realize that there is more to it than meets the eye. The man really made people think, look, and listen. What's going on in the world. So his life was taken for the wrong cause. His life was taken for a good cause. Because he has said one time before, he know he won't be on this earth long. So he does make a difference.
If people think their dreams of the civil rights movement would just die out, just end because the leader was now dead?
No, at first a lot of people thought that, but a lot of other groups and the organization started kicking in. It got stronger, you know. It got stronger because the fight was continuing on. And once that happened, I mean, it just got stronger. I mean, blacks and whites start, you know, forming groups together, making things happen. So not only was this black out there for their own rights, you have a lot of whites out there wanting rights too, women wanting rights. So it boils down, you have majority of, like I said, whites. Sure, you had white males, but you had a lot of majority of white, educated females that wanted their rights. So therefore, so it come hand in hand. When you say women, so that means both types, black and white. So it's no different. So with that in mind, it did work out. People did come together. But to this day, you know, you still don't have those people that still resent that. And still teaches. The way I feel still is still some of those bad principles in there. Kids coming up
here. Tell me about the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare.
Department of Health, Education, and Welfare was established for one reason only, is to help people in case they need things, you know, like, you know, necessities, you know, in order to survive. And it's really hard to say because there's so many things going to the Department of Health and Welfare there. It's just a lot of things.
You feel they were crooked?
Well, it was harder on black to get stuff right away than it was for whites in that aspect, yes. Because, like I was saying before, majority of those people that were inside there was white. And you know, when a black person goes in and try to ask for assistance, they had to go through a whole 9 yards in order to get assistance. I mean, it might take 3 or 4 months. But a white person back then could go in and the next day they got things through, you know, like welfare and stuff like that. They had it. So a black person, you know, it took a long time before they could get any type of assistance out of there. Organization, due to the reason the power structure in there was just all white, no blacks, and you know it was there. The government said it was there for all people, but really back then it was there just for one type of person. It was there for the white people, not for the black people. Let's face it, that's what happened.
What about education?
Same thing with education. Same thing. You know, when they said public schools, when the white people had their public schools and stuff, they had everything, you know. When they said black people had their public school, yeah, we have our public school always, but we can look up in the sky, we can see the sky.
We had ceilings?
We had ceilings, but you didn't see the sky. What I mean by that? Got big holes in it. They wouldn't patch it up. So they ran short on money. Now, you go to the white public school, you see all new ceilings and stuff, you know, the walls painted, fresh paint. I mean, you know, the Jones, my stop, what they called them Jones back then, you know, they didn't call them Richmond Jones, you know. So, it's like that. And as far as education go off, we didn't get the up-to-date books. We got the books back then, you know, back when they just started turning the books, you know. We get the pieces of books, pages torn out, you know, stuff like that. And, but we gain something out of it. We still have respect for ourselves, even though the government wasn't there for us at that time.
How did you feel about the busing of students?
Well, the busing of students was, it was good in aspect, it was bad in aspect. One reason it was good because you get better education. You go to a better school. One reason it was bad was because of the distant travel you got to go. Now, that's the only bad thing about it. Even though it was busing, but if a student had to go 10 miles to school this way and one go 1 mile this way, you know, you can walk to school, you go 1 mile, you know. But when you go 10 miles, it's a big difference. And so, you know, like busing, just to trying to get a racial mix up, you know. And, you know, my opinion on that is it's good in the sense for the education part of it, very good for the education part. Now, location is weak. But if they were doing all the schools the same way, they wouldn't have had the problem of busing in the first place.
How did the students react when they first integrated with black and white students coming together in the same school system?
Well, that's a good topic. When I first integrated with a white student, it was tense, you know, cause nobody didn't know what to expect, you know. It was new to everybody, it was a feeling that you can't explain, you know, what they doing in all school, you know. Just then when you start having black guys start looking at white women, of course, first time, you know, they have been that close to them, so it was something new, and, you know, white guys were standing on the wall, they were scared to socialize with us, and, you know, didn't know what to say, how to approach us, in the cafeteria looked like it was separated. Because, you know, you had the black center to stay, white center to stay together as a group. You know, it just was a little tense at that time. So until people started to realize that we probably could get along real good. And, you know, it worked out in the school pretty well. But you have your incidents, you know, racial incidents sometimes. But other than that, right there, it works out. Then you have parents come to school, this nigga was fighting our kids, stuff like this. But they defuse the situation, stuff. You don't want your kid in the school, take them out until they learn to live together, play together. You won't have a school. So, you know, that's the only way they can solve that problem.
Okay, 1969. President Nixon, who desired to be, in quotes, a friend to all the people, knowing that the 1960s were about to be gone, how did you feel about Nixon taking you out of the 60s and into the 70s?
How do I feel about that? President Nixon, it's really hard to get a pitch on him because he was, to me, and what I heard about President Nixon at the time, that he was very slick. They call him, hope this don't offend you, they call him Tricky Dick Nixon, which means that he was did a lot of stuff on the cover. So, you know, in that aspect, taking us into the 70s, you know, it was a tough situation because the Vietnam War was going on, and, you know, and he had said that he was going to pull all the troops out of Vietnam, which he did in the 70s, early part of the 70s, he pulled all the troops out, and to this day, you know, like, a lot of Vietnam vets still don't know why they were over there, but they were fighting a war that couldn't be won. All because of politics. And, you know, like you said, how did I feel about it? It was a hairy situation because the war was going on and it was just a lot of things were going on then.
Tell me more about the Vietnam War.
The Vietnam War was a very bloody war. We lost a lot of lives and, you know, people didn't want nobody to fight in that war in the first place. So, you know, that's all I can tell you on that because there's a lot of things that happened. People deserted, went to Canada. And the Vietnam War brought out a lot of animosity among people in the government.
Ronald, thank you for this interview. I'm sorry for taking up all your time, but I'd like to thank you for having this interview with me. In closing, I hope that you have a nice day.
Okay, thank you very much.